Before we get started, we want to give a quick shout out to our $10 tier supporters on Patreon. We recently launched our subscriber platform at patreon.com/I'm Horrified, and we are having so much fun spending time with all of you who have signed up. Some benefits include early ad-free access to episodes and also our bonus video series, I'm Thrilled, where we talk about nice things for a change. We can't wait to see you over there, and we want to thank Claire, Dennis, Grace, Jamie, Neil, Patrick, and Sarah for being our very first round of $10 tier subscribers. We're so grateful for your support. So feel free to join in on the fun over on Patreon and enjoy the show.
No fucking shit.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of I'm Horrified.
I'm Horrified.
With Sam and Allie.
Welcome in.
Welcome back.
Welcome, welcome. Here we are.
Here we are together once again.
We're doing it again.
And guys, this week, we're gonna talk tech.
Yeah, we are. There's maybe no two people less qualified to discuss tech.
You, moments ago, peek behind the mic, moments ago in my own house, Allie went to my husband and was like, your job is computer. Can you help me with my profile image on my computer?
I was like, Sam, you're Ken's job is computer.
Yes.
So I need you to fix something. And I literally was like, I've been fucking around with this. I've been like doing, like I did the thing I was supposed to do. Like I read the article. When I tell you, I handed him my laptop and he looked at it for 1 second.
It was harsh.
It was kind of unkind of him, frankly. He should have just like sort of played with the cursor for a second just to give me a little more dignity. But I appreciate him fixing the issue. So
yeah, in the end, the problem is
in
fixed.
The end, the problem got solved, and I appreciate that.
But I've said this before, I believe some technology is misogynist. Like, I do believe that some technology just works better for men.
100%.
And it's infuriating to me as someone who will put effort into like, okay, let me Google how to do this. Let me turn it off and turn it on. I'm not someone who one thing goes wrong on my computer and I'm like, fix it for me. Like, I really am trying.
Oh, I'm a little like that.
I mean, I respect that too. But it makes me mad when I put in the effort and then the computer just starts working when Adam walks into the room.
There's something in me that, like, when something, like, electronic breaks, I just want to go, Dad, come fix it.
Help me.
I just remember, like, us being next to the big box with the cow print, mm-hmm. The computer. What was that? The Dell.
Oh.
The big Dell, like, computer. Yes. And, I'd fuck something up. And I'd be like, Dad. And he'd be like, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it again. Stop clicking it. Don't click it again.
Fair enough. And he was probably right.
And then he'd sort of like start typing and be like, go away. I have to do this. And I trusted him. He was right. Whatever he was doing to get me back on my Harry Potter CD-ROM game, I appreciated it.
That was the era of, this is going to hit for a really specific set of our viewers that are exactly our age. That was the era of having, like, the family computer in the computer room.
That's right.
Right? And mm-hmm. It was, like, you had one computer that was everyone got to use, was so much fun to play with. You got your CDs of, you know, all your games.
I can still feel the little wheeled shelf that the keyboard sat on.
Yes.
Like, I can feel, I spent so much time in that, like, little desk area because it was, like, that's where the computer is.
The computer area, yes.
And I can also feel, like, my brother and I, like, pulling each other off the, swivelly chair. Because it's like, it's my turn.
See, that's, again, this is not the first time I've said this today. I get a lot of flack for being an only child, for growing up, some would say, lonely. But, baby, I got to play in the computer room as much as I wanted.
That's right.
I was playing Carmen Sandiego 24/7 if I wanted to.
24/7.
Where in time, where in the world, where in the USA, I was there.
You were there.
I was.
Just you.
Just me. I'll confess.
You, yourself, and you.
Listen. Today we're going to talk about tech.
We're here for the tech. The tech boys are here.
The tech boys are
here. The tech bros are, they're tuning in.
It's, yes.
They're tuning in. Hello, we know you're here.
Hello to Adam's friends.
Welcome, Silicon Valley.
Welcome, Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I know you have a Google alert on yourself. We're going to talk about a new technology today. I've done episodes like this before, right? I've done it on, like, an AI apocalypse. I've done it on, like, self-driving cars. I'm very old man yells at cloud when it comes to new technology. I really am in my heart. So today we're going to talk about something that is, to me, as unsettling as all the other new technology I don't like. Although, interestingly, it's maybe trying to be better, although I don't think it's achieving it. Today we're going to talk about the Humane AI Pin. And so the AI Pin is this new product by this company called Humane, which was founded by two Apple alums, Imran Chaudhry and Bethany Bongiorno, who I think are married, interestingly. So good for them.
Good for them.
According to the Humane website, together, they envision a future that is even more intelligent and even more personal. They have committed Humane to building not for the world as it exists today, but as it could be tomorrow. Rethinking, reconsidering, and remembering honest human connection in the context of computing, they seek to reshape the role of technology in our lives. Does that sentence explain what the technology is? No. No, it does not.
Yeah, that could also be like a marketing firm.
Yeah.
Or like a new, really great granola bar.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Any of the above.
I think you could do any of that. Also, I'm not like trying to be this way, but when they're like, we envision a more intelligent future, I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. Is that a high bar for us to reach?
We all would love that.
I would love that.
Exactly.
Sign me up.
So their website, it's not really telling you much about what exactly they're doing, but in November of 2023, so very recently, they came out with a 10-minute video explaining their new product, the AI Pin. Now, as a homework assignment before we began this episode, I made Allie watch the 10-minute video on the AI Pin with me.
It really was something.
And I encourage all of you to do it as well, because the aura around the video is so menacing for no reason.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is. The big thing for me is, like, there's no... When you watch, like, a marketing video, you expect a little bit of, like, jingly background music. It's silence. This is silence. They walk on... And they start talking about this pin.
It's and I think that if you should, you should watch it.
You
if
should.
You can. If you're in a position right now to Google it, go fucking get at it.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Just Google, like, introducing AI pin video, and that's, you're going to get the video. It's like
and
10
it's
minutes.
The two people who look like they're in Apple.
Yes. It's so, as soon as I read, like, they both are from Apple, I was like, yeah, that tracks.
That sounds about right. It brought me right back to, like, Apple time, you know, like when, when the iPhone was coming out, like when we were like going through our iPad generations, it was exciting. Like I remember when the new one would drop and you would go
watch it. It would be so cool.
It was really cool. You go watch it online. And it was like a big deal and it felt like the whole world was like watching it. Yeah. I don't know if the whole world's watching this.
I don't know. And Allie, here's a question I have for you. After watching that 10-minute video, do you exactly understand what exactly the AI pin is slash does?
I think so.
Okay.
I think a little.
It took me like a couple watches of it to fully comprehend, like, what is this? What is it for?
It seems like it's all the sort of... It's sort of like Alexa, you know what I mean? Like having Alexa on your person all the time.
Interesting.
I'm assuming, have you seen the movie Her?
I think I've seen Her.
It's very similar to that.
It is. It's Her coded. I also said it's very, the video itself is very Lex Luthor coded, I said.
Like, that's true.
Very like.
That is true.
Is this going to end the world? Again, I encourage you to go and watch that 10-minute video. If you don't have the time, or even if you do, I'm going to go over some highlights of the video right now, all of us together, and we'll see if that helps us wrap our brains around, like, what is this exactly? What's happening?
What's going on?
So in this video, Bethany and Imran enter, accompanied by, again, no music, and begin describing their new product, the AI Pin. They say it is a standalone device and software platform built from the ground up for AI. What does this mean?
Could mean anything.
I did some research to give you the answer. So it's basically, and they show it to you in the video, it's a small device. I think it to me, it looks like maybe a little bit bigger than a matchbox. Like, not huge.
Very small,
you know, a reasonable size.
Oh, it's the iPod clip.
Yeah.
The little clip.
It's maybe a little bigger than that.
With the iPod shuffle.
Yes.
The little thing that would clip on and, like, runners would have it.
Yeah.
It was, like, exactly that size, yeah, pretty much. Or the size of, like, an Apple Watch face.
Yeah, not far off from that either. I agree. So it's basically this small device. You clip it onto your clothing, and then you're able to ask it questions and have it do tasks for you, a lot like, exactly like you said, Allie, like Siri or Alexa, or if anyone's experimented with, like, ChatGPT, right? One of those AI systems.
Right.
When they say it's standalone, what I think they mean is it's not like a smartwatch that you are meant to use as an accessory with your smartphone. Instead, you are meant to use it in lieu of a smartphone. Like, it is a standalone. It does not get connected up to your other devices.
Yeah. That, and then they're kind of losing me with that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that more, because I think that's a high ask for
seriously
people. They say it comes in 3 colors, black, white, and black.
No, Sam, no. No.
No, sorry.
What are the colors, Sam?
It's like eclipse, midnight, and fucking lunar. It's something so... They're black, white, and black and white. Like, that's the 3 colors it comes in.
It's so masturbatory, but...
And you can just tell these people are, like, Apple minimalists. Like, that's just their style.
You know that, the designers came out with all those ones, and they were just walking across the 17 shades of white, like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
As you were watching it, you were remembering that episode of Parks and Rec when Tom Haverford is picking between, like, colors of black.
Yeah, like, a million different black ties. And it's like, well, they're all black. And he's like, ha! You wish they were all black. We're just mortals. We're just looking at 2 black ones and a white one.
Exactly. Another thing they talk about is the perpetual power system. This I found deeply confusing.
Very Lex Luthor coded.
Very Lex Luthor coded. And one thing they don't say is, like, the battery fully charged lasts 8 hours. They do not say that. What they say is, like, with the perpetual power system, you can hot swap battery packs to use this product as much as you want. And I was like, so does one battery last 6 hours? Does it last
4?
Like, what are we talking about here?
Say 8 doesn't sound like that much.
Not that much. So I guess what I think they mean is that, like, you can kind of have, like, one battery charging in your pocket and one battery in the device, and then you can swap them. So then, like, you get the, again, like
the magazine of a gun.
Just say 8 hours. You know what I mean? Or 12 hours or 1 hour. Just give me a guess. They mention very specifically that unlike a Siri or an Alexa, it is not always listening to you. Like, you activate it by touching it, and there is a trust light that comes on when it is active. Which I do think is interesting. Like, that's something I've been spooked by if I ever got... I mean, I have a smartphone that has, like, the Google AI that I think you just say, hey, Google. They didn't give it a nice woman's name. But... But, like, I do get sometimes a little freaked out when it, like, it hears me and it, oh, it just did it. It literally just did it. I said, hey, Google, as an
Hello?
Example. And my phone woke up and said, like, oh, what do you need?
Shut her
me?
Up right now. Shut her up. So, she can't hear us talking about this. She's going to come after you.
I know.
She's going to smother you in your sleep if she thinks you're getting an AI pin.
But unironically, that has, like, kind of thrown me off sometimes about those, like, Siris and Alexas and all of that they are always actively listening. So the Humane AI pin says, we're not always listening, and if we are listening, the light comes on, so you should know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I trust
Bullshit.
Them.
Bullshit.
Then they finally get into the actual features. With the AI pin, you can, of course, do phone calls and send texts to your friends. The texting feature is very interesting. It shows Imran saying something like, message my friend, I'll join him tonight. And the pin offers up a message saying, I'll join you tonight. And then Imran says, make me sound more excited. And then the pin's like, I'll join you tonight. Can't wait.
And I love how he says it, too. It's like, make me sound more excited. It's like, well, maybe that's a good feature for you.
Yeah, maybe he really needs that. It's very reminding me of, like, if anyone's played around with ChatGPT, like, that system is, like, very similar in my mind of, like,
right,
adjusting prompts based on what you're asking. It can play music. They're partnered with Tidal Music Streaming, but you do, I Googled this more, you do have to, like, pay for Tidal separately, like you would have to pay for Spotify.
They said Tidal out of the box. Which I assume means their box.
Yes. But you do still have to pay for it.
What is in my box?
I know. Very confusing. You can ask it such complicated queries. So you can just be like, play my playlist on Tidal. Or you can say you want to listen to songs written but not performed by Prince. To which I say, listen, when I want to listen to Sinead O'Connor's cover of Nothing Compares to You,
I'll say that.
I don't want to do it in the form of a riddle.
Yeah.
I'll just listen to it.
Oh my God.
So again, it's like, that's kind of cool, but it's not that cool. It lets you do stuff on your hand. It's got like a literal like laser that comes out of it, and you hold your hand flat, like in front of you, and it can project like the weather or, you know, some of the basic stuff. You can move your hand in certain weird ways to like get it to click through different settings.
This is the thing that looks like a sort of futuristic Disney Channel original movie, like Xenon Girl of the 21st Century, because it's like a blue light that projects onto your hand, so it just looks, it looks like the, like a 1980s idea of the future.
Yes, it really, that's so true, it really does. It's retro-futuristic,
for
sure.
It's retro-futuristic, which the people love it.
Something interesting that I'd like to point out here is like, what if your user, say, is an amputee and does not have an easily available hand? What if they have, like, arthritis or for some other reason they find it difficult to move their fingers in certain ways to access these different areas? Like, what if they are wearing mittens because it is cold out?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, I think there are some limitations to the power of the hand screen.
You gotta buy their mittens.
You gotta buy the fancy mittens, I guess. You gotta only wear the gloves that
they're
let your fingers...
They're $285, and they don't keep your hands warm.
And they make your hands colder somehow. Here's a cool feature. It can translate other languages for you. So in the demo, a man comes up and he starts speaking in Spanish. And the pin, Imran like touches the pin to wake it up. And then the pin automatically translates into English. And then Imran speaks in English and the pin automatically translates it into Spanish. That's very cool. I will say, like, I just have a feeling that language is more complicated than an AI can translate sometimes. Like, to me, there's so much about, like, dialect and tone and intonation. Like, I wonder if some stuff might get lost in translation, ironically enough.
Well, 100%. But I think there's, like, also, like, that's not new. Like, there's apps that do that.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's, like, I think the idea is, like, you can crudely get across a logistical message of like go here now or I leave or whatever, like, you know, to yourself or to the other person you're speaking to, no matter what the language is. But yeah, it could be just straight up wrong.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not going to be nuanced.
Yeah. So I like, it's like, I think that feature's cool, but I'm also like, is that really going to work? Also, I don't know if you clocked this, Allie, but I have a feeling that they decided that they only ever wanted two people on screen at once. So right before this section, Bethany wordlessly exits. Like, she just walks off screen. And then, like, a few beats later, the guy walks on. But you get the vibe that they're, like, in some huge fight. You're like, what? Bethany, come back.
They couldn't have Bethany speak Spanish for 1 minute.
I know. Or just have Bethany be like, oh, here, someone's at the door. Let me go. Let them, like, just say anything. Don't just walk off screen silently. Again, Lex Luthor coded. Another feature, you can ask it complicated questions, again, as you would Siri or ChatGPT. In the demo, they ask when the next eclipse is and where the best place to see it is. A cool additional feature is that you can hold things up to the camera and ask questions about the things you're holding. So in the demo, the guy holds up a handful of almonds and asks how much protein is in this handful. That's a cool feature, but I've got two important addendums on that. So, Allie, the version that you and I just watched together is actually the newer version that got re-uploaded to the Humane page. When I watched it initially, it was the original version that, like, someone had re-uploaded to YouTube. And in the original version, the AI gets both of those things very wrong. People realize.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Incredible.
So, in the original version, they ask, like, when's the next eclipse coming and where's the best place to see it? And it says the right date. It says in April. But then it says the best place to see it is going to be Australia. But, like, it's actually not passing over Australia at all. Like, that's a very bad place to see the next eclipse.
Right. And now people are buying their plane tickets.
Yep. And when he holds up the handful of almonds in the original video, He said they say it has about 15 grams of proteins, but apparently it would take about 60 almonds to have that much protein. And the guy's holding up like six. Like, he's holding up not that many almonds.
Yeesh.
So very interesting that sometimes just because a computer's telling you doesn't mean it's right.
You can get this wrong information at the tap of a screen.
Exactly. Another thing, you can purchase items. At one point, he holds up something and asks, how much is this online? And it gives the price, and he says, buy it. Another note on this. I would have truly so many follow-up questions for my AI. Am I buying it from Amazon? Am I buying it from Walmart? Is there a shipping cost? When will it arrive? Which of my payment methods on file are you using? Did you use my Capital One cash back towards it? Like, what address did you send it to? Like, I don't think I could online confidently be like, buy this.
No, that I get though, because you would probably input what buy it means.
Interesting.
Buy it means get it on Amazon or wherever it's cheapest for the lowest shipping cost or whatever. Always use this credit card. Like, you can do that with, like, grocery lists, I think, with Alexa. Like, put this on my grocery list, and it goes to your, like, Amazon Whole Foods or whatever. That I get. I understand that. And I thought that was kind of cool that you can just, like... Well, actually, it's not cool. It just makes it easier to buy things.
Yeah. Could be cool, but could also be
with
weird.
Zero choice points of, like, do I need this? Should I do this? And that's what my brain does, is, like, buy it.
Yeah, it's just another impulse being like, buy it. Go for it.
Do it.
And finally, it can make you a better friend. At one point, he asks for a recommendation for a restaurant for he and his friend Ken to go to, and it recommends sushi places. And he's like, it's recommending sushi places because a while ago I told it that Ken likes sushi. A little weird, but that's nice.
So, no big deal.
No big deal. That's fine. So with all the cool features demoed, it's revealed the price is about $700 for the device, plus $24 to be on the Humane Network. It does make me laugh. They keep calling it the Humane Network, but then they're like, powered by T-Mobile. So I'm like, so it's the T-Mobile Network.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not, you just don't have a satellite. Like, it's just a network. Now, this is just like a bizarro demo, very fun to poke fun at. But let's go like a little bit deeper, right? That's what we do here on this podcast. We get a little bit deep. What Humane AI claims it's trying to do in its materials, and I watched, like, a TED Talk that Imran gave, and I also, like, explored their website to kind of get more of a vibe. What they want to do is make this technology more invisible in everyday life so that people can embrace the moment they're actually in. This is a lovely mission, and I do totally see their point, right? One of the stories they say is, like, if you're at a concert, you are in the sea of phones, but you can just tell your AI pin to record and still get, like, the pictures or the memories, but you're living and experiencing the moment. Like, that's great. But in the same breath in the TED Talk, Imran says he's also able to rip through emails while biking through the park. That's not being in the moment at all.
No, it's not. I will say the one thing that I was like, oh, okay, was the idea of doing all these things that I do on a screen without a screen in front of my face.
Yeah.
I do like that.
And that's their big, I think, trying to, like, selling point is, like, you can do all this stuff but be in the moment.
Because I can physically feel the effect of having a screen in front of my eyes and, like, hunching over it and stuff like that. Like, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And so the idea that I could sort of do little, like, micro adjustments to how I interact with my phone to have it be less.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a bad thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like I said, like, I think the mission and what they're going for here, I get it. But I think there's a lot to be considered.
Yeah, like, we already have text-to-speech. We already have a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
With, like, one click.
Yeah, and then, so speaking of, like, kind of smartphones in this context, I watched this really great video called Why the Humane AI Pin Won't Work by a tech YouTuber named Joshua Chang, and he made a couple of really valuable points. He kind of posits that we use our smartphones for three reasons: entertainment, communication, and tools, right? And that tracks for me. We use it to entertain ourselves, to text and call people, and to, like, bring up the calculator function, bring up Venmo, kind of thing. He points out that the AI pin is basically saying, we're replacing your smartphone, but with none of the entertainment. Like, sure, it's got music, But it, no display feature means no video, no social media, like no looking physically at anything.
No real like community.
Yeah. And Allie, I simply like to look at things sometimes.
I mean, I will say the wildfire spread of social media at a rate that not even our future selves could predict is sort of ruining the world.
Maybe.
So I do get that.
But I like to play Connections on my phone in the mornings.
But I like to scroll my Tiki Talks.
I just do.
When I wake up.
And so, like, if the AI pin is trying to replace your smartphone, I think that's going to be a really high sell with no display at all. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that's a hard one to do. So losing this display, like, it's their goal to keep you in the world, but it also is going to lose a function a lot of people really like. Another great point from Joshua Chang is that by using AI to send texts, you lose a lot of individuality, and I'm going to talk more about this later. But, like, so often when you're texting to someone, you're using, like, a ton of punctuation or weird capitalization or, like, adding things to make a point. Like, I text you very differently than I text Adam, very differently than I text my mom.
Yeah.
But with AI, like, kind of writing your texts for you, that's all going to change. Like, it's going to be a pretty uniform way of sending out your communications.
Which I also am like, I do think, I mean, not always, because I do like getting into, like, text volleys with people I haven't seen in a while, and you don't always have time for phone calls. But I do think that emotional nuance shouldn't really be communicated through text message. I mean, like, I get, like, being silly or, like, different vibes, but, like, if you're trying to have an emotionally complex conversation, I would not do it over text message.
No, I think that's fair. But I also think, like, we live in a world where text is a default communication for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's, like, if you're taking away the ability to be, like, nuanced in those individual texts and you have to make a call to get any kind of nuance across, like, that's going to be, again, a high barrier of entry for people,
that's true. You don't like phone calls either.
I don't love phone calls, no. I like them sometimes, but they're not my, again, like, they're not my default. They're not what I would default
no,
to.
No, that makes sense.
And this also leads me to something else that came to my mind after watching the founder Imran's TED Talk. So he talked a lot about invisible technology, and since AI is here, we should be using it in this responsible way that frees us from being behind a screen. Again, like, I get that. At one point he says, for the human-technology relationship to evolve beyond screens, we need something different. I would say, like, is it a relationship, or is it...
yeah.
Is it just a service we're using? But my second reaction was to think of PhilosophyTube, one of our favorites. Abigail Thorne did a great video on transhumanism.
Absolutely.
We've shouted out Abigail before on this podcast.
She's amazing.
By God, we're going to do it again.
Oh, can you imagine if she was on this podcast?
Dream of dreams, truly.
I would just be weeping.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to talk about anything.
I'd be weeping too hard for her to say anything.
Oh my God, I love her. Now, so I won't get into the whole thesis of her transhumanism video. Definitely go watch it because it's really, really good. It's one of my favorite ones she's done recently. But I want to zoom in on an idea that the Humane founders mentioned, which is that technology is becoming invisible. Unfortunately, this doesn't mean what I want it to mean, which is like a 90s translucent kind of vibe in all of our tech, where everything's just like kind of see-through.
Back to Xenon Girl of the 21st century.
Exactly. But what it really means is that when you're using a tool, you often forget about the tool that you're using, and instead you focus on, like, the task that the tool allows you to do. So a couple examples that Abigail talks about in her video. When you're using a hammer, right, after you've been using it for a minute, you're not really focused on the hammer anymore, you're focusing on the nail and, like, how you're able to get the nail into whatever you're nailing. And after a minute, you really know intuitively where the hammer's going to land and how hard to go without even actively thinking about it. Another example of this is when you're driving in a car for quite a while, you can zone out. You're not actively thinking about driving for, you know, unless something actively is happening. You can just kind of know intuitively where the tools are around you to use. My favorite example that I think really sells this is, like, acrylic nails, right? You get these long nails. At first, you might be hyper aware of them, but eventually they're just a part of you, and you're instinctively moving in ways that adapt to them. Like, for anyone who's ever had, like, extra long nails, you know, like, you're picking things up kind of differently. You're scratching your head kind of differently because you're just used to these being an extension of you.
Yeah, and not even just the length, but, like, the ability to, like, how hard they are, mm-hmm. how you can push against things, like, it just completely absorbs, basically,
yes.
into you.
So let's think, like, so with that frame of mind, let's think about the AI pin. If it were to become invisible to us and we adapt unthinkingly into, like, it impacts how we live, what will change with how we live? And the big one that I can think of, right, is, like, the importance of tone and detail in the way we communicate.
Mm.
So, like, we were talking about with the texting function, right? Imagine that I ask Siri and Google AI or whatever to text Allie, I'm running late, be there in 5. The way the demo works is different than Siri and Google because what Siri and Google would do would just say, I'm running late, be there in 5, right?
Yeah.
Like, they would just do exactly what you said. AI PIN instead encourages you to just tell the PIN the content of what you're trying to say. Tell Allie I'm running late and we'll be there in 5. And again, as Joshua Chang points out, it's now up to the AI to provide the punctuation, the emotion. And even though I can just say, like, make me sound more excited or make me sound more apologetic, like, still it's your thoughts filtered through an AI before it gets to your friends. And then this also, it, like, interacts with another feature that they show in the demos that they call Catch Me Up, which provides, like, a summary of messages you haven't read. So, for example, like, I'm, like, in a movie or something. I leave and I say, hey, AI pin, catch me up on what I missed. It might say something like, you have a meeting that moved to 3, Allie wants to get dinner, and mom called and left a message, right? It would just run me through the couple of things that had happened between now and then. That's very cool, because who hasn't been part of a big group text and just wanted a summary of what the fuck was happening in it, right?
What's happening with the bridesmaid text chain?
Exactly. But how does the AI know what is important to include in the summary? Would an AI note that one friend has not replied to the group message at all and tell you, hey, maybe check on them. They haven't responded to the group text in, like, days.
Mm, yeah. Right?
Can it tell that your mom called at 3 p.m. on a work day and that's very weird for her?
Mm,
right?
Yeah.
I don't think it can. Maybe it can. Maybe you can teach it to. But I don't know that that's really something that an AI can ever fully understand. And now here's a scenario for the overthinkers in the room. You have to move a dinner plan with a friend last minute. You tell AI PIN, tell Jane, I'm so sorry, but I have to cancel dinner, and can we reschedule? Imagine what Jane sends you back is, sure, period. What the AI tells you is, Jane says you can reschedule dinner. Those are two very different messages,
that
right?
That is not the same.
That is not the same at all. And I would interpret them very differently.
Maybe that's good for you.
For me, maybe it's
maybe
good.
Maybe you need that.
Maybe I personally need that.
Do you know what I'm thinking of? I don't know if you talk about this. I'm thinking about the Oxford comma.
Mmm, interesting.
I'm thinking about the fact that, like, it's like what? So if you're in a circus and you're trying to talk about clowns and also two acrobatic artists, mm-hmm. you could say, we're going to get dinner with the clowns, Marissa, and Stacy. If the Oxford comma's not there, it's the clowns, Marissa, and Stacy. And they're not the clowns.
Yes.
They're the acrobats. I don't know who this example is for.
But still.
But it could matter.
And you don't want to insult your acrobats. Yeah, so I guess, like, what I'm saying is just, like, if we let the AI pin become invisible for us, then what we're accepting is no longer something we're thinking about, like, what the tool is doing for us, is, like, it's saying goodbye to tone and nuance in the way we communicate on our phones, right? And again, like, a good point you made is, like, you can simply give someone the call, which is totally true. But I think that right now, so much of life is communicated via text, like, I fear for us just simplifying the way texts go and losing a lot of that individuality and nuance.
You know what I'm thinking, though? I don't know. Maybe I'm pro-humane.
I think you are. That's okay.
I don't think I am, but I am wondering if we got to the point where this was as ubiquitous as an iPhone,
mm-hmm.
right? like, if everyone was doing it. And, like, because, like, sure, exclamation point means something, but not if it's coming from another humane AI pin.
Totally true.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because that's just, like, simple logistics. And I do think there is something to that.
Yes.
Of, I do spend a lot of time, like, crafting the tone of my text messages. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, so much of the time I spend looking at my screen. And I do think it would probably be healthier for us, both emotionally and physically, to be like, this is only a mode of communication for logistics.
Yeah.
And if you want to be passive aggressive, you gotta do it to my face. You gotta do it to my face. And you know what? Like, and you don't have to worry about that because you know that's not how they're going to address you because they're not addressing you. The AI pin is.
Yeah. That's very true. That's like the argument. A lot of people make that argument with like self-driving cars. They're like, it's going to be scary when half the people on the road are normal and half are robots. But when all the cars on the road are self-driving, it will be safer than ever.
What about when the robots decide to kill all of us at once?
What about when the AI pins decide to kill all of us
at once? What about when the AI pins decide to be passive-aggressive all at once?
My nightmare.
And the AI pins are, like, talking shit with each other and, like, in fights that have nothing to do with you and your mom, but suddenly they're in a fight through your text chain.
It's like, I'm not speaking to your mother at this time. And you're like, you have to. Tell her I'm on my way.
And it's like, tell your AI pin that my AI pin doesn't want to speak to him anymore.
And that is something, this is like a much, like right now I'm talking about existential threats, right? The smaller thing that I will say is because of no display, you do have to talk to text all of your texts. So like, I do imagine a world where I have to be like on a bus and it's like, can you call my doctor and tell him I still have diarrhea? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just no, you can't send a private text anymore. Like, you have to say it out loud if you're using the AI pin.
You can't reschedule your orgy at just, like, the drop of a hat.
Exactly.
You have to find, like, a little corner for yourself.
Or, like, you're in a really long meeting and you have to quietly be like, guys, can you just give me 1 second? Tell Ken I'm running late. This bitch won't stop me.
I suppose you don't have to say that, but the other thing is, like, I could just imagine you, like, whispering to the AI pin, like, you need to call my doctor, and it's like, what was that?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Your doctor says, how long have you had diarrhea? You know, like, just no fun. Let's get back to the more existential threats. So, during a demo in his TED Talk, Imran holds up a candy bar to his AI pin, and he asks, can I eat this? The AI points out to him that he does not do well with dairy, so he probably shouldn't. Again, like, I can see that being a beautiful and great feature for people who have food allergies or are trying to, like, manage, like, their calories or their food in that way. In the demo, Imran smirks and tells the AI, I'm gonna eat it anyway. And he notes that my AI knows what's best for me, but I'm in total control. I would challenge that, right, as we're talking about tools becoming invisible. Because when a tool becomes invisible, in a way, when you use it, are you still in control or are you purposefully limiting yourself to the way that that tool is used? When you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
When you have an AI pen, are you only interacting in the world in a way that is friendly to your AI pen?
That's true.
If we have a translator, are we going to stop learning new languages? If we can sum up all of our conversations, are we still going to have group texts that get very chaotic? If we're told what we should and shouldn't eat, will we try something new that maybe we can't recognize through our AI pen? That's kind of where I'm left on the AI pen. I just see it in a world, you know, the more it becomes invisible, the more we take it for granted, the more I think it actually can control what we do. Because we go like, well, my AI pen can't do that, so...
Yeah, I think I also see it in terms of, like, something that I learned that was interesting when I didn't realize it before was that translation, at least between languages, and I think in other ways too, translation is an art form mm-hmm. unto itself. It's not just an art form. It's something that interacts with an art form. Like, if you take a poem and translate it into a different language, that translator is... crafting a new poem. Mm-hmm. Now, it's very similar, and it's trying to communicate as best it can the emotional impact of that poem, how they read it in that language. Mm-hmm. But it will never be the same.
Yeah.
It cannot be the same. You cannot fully experience that poem as that author intended without being able to, you know, read it in their language, probably pretty fluently, mm-hmm. Beyond just, like, understanding. And then there's going to be all these cultural layers that are in there. And so that's when a translator can come in and step back and forth between culture and language and context and wordplay and all that kind of stuff. And, like, there's a third artist in the room that gets forgotten about, mm-hmm. but that is work. Like, that is actually a complicated piece of work that requires a human being and a human mind.
Yes.
I think that, like, I have worked for many years as, like, a brand strategist, and I think of that very similarly. Like, I am, you know, putting colors together and, you know, writing up little things, but I'm trying to communicate something that somebody else has communicated to me very clearly, but in, like, a really long, rambling, difficult way.
Yeah.
And I do think that I'm bringing something to the table. I'm not just taking what they have and translating it directly. I'm finding the way that it might connect with another person. You know what I mean? I'm exactly. thinking about what it is that they're emotionally telling me and what it is that I emotionally want to convey. So I think that there's a lot of danger, I think, in a lot of the corners of this. Mm-hmm. Like, some things might not feel like they require that much nuance. And then time over time, we start to realize, oh, they really do.
Yeah.
You know, we might not be able to recognize what requires nuance until the nuance is lost.
I think that's really true. And I'm, like I said, so they just announced this in November. I do think that they exist now in, like, a beta form, like, it can't quite do everything yet.
Yep.
But I'll be really curious to see, like, the longer that this exists and the more up and running it gets, like, how popular it becomes. And specifically, and I'm not going to go, like, into this. This might be a whole other episode. But Apple is now coming out with, like, Apple Vision, which is, like, the evil twin of this technology. It's, like, a big honking pair of fucking goggles
you put on your face.
So you can, like, be actively, like, looking at other stuff. It literally is. It's, like, the opposite mission statement of this. It's, like,
so unsexy.
Yeah, it's, like, what if instead of holding your phone, it was fucking on your eyeballs? Like,
they said iPad baby.
Yes, they did.
iPad baby for all of us.
And I'm like, that, it feels like I'm starting to see people with, like, do TikToks and videos about, like, here's me on the bus doing with my Apple Vision or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'll be really curious to see kind of how this technology grows in, like, both tracks, in both, like, full iPad baby and in, like, I actually just ask my pin if I can eat this almond and then it says yes or no. Like, I'll be curious to see what happens. And I'd love to say, like, if anyone has strong opinions about this, or if anyone has gotten to, like, play with an AI pin or with Apple Vision or any of these kind of tech, I'd be so curious to hear your point of view in it. Because, like, I do think that's true. Like, I'm old man yells at cloud. I'm suspicious of new technologies, but, like, you don't get a good idea of it until you're using it.
I would love to use one, and I wouldn't pay for it myself, yeah. at least at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's the thing, right? If everyone had one.
Maybe.
And if that's how people communicate with each other, like, I own an iPhone.
Yeah.
Like, of course I do. I'm talking to you. You have a Google phone.
I'm free of the Apple yoke.
Yeah.
And now I'm in the right. Google yoke.
All right. But it's like, you know, if communication changes in a fundamental way, everyone will ultimately sort of snowball. But we can't even conceive of all the ways it would change.
Exactly.
And maybe a lot of them would be better, you know? Maybe
some of it would be great. Yeah, I really don't know.
But I just feel like this is the beginning of every sci-fi movie.
Yes.
Of, like, we have done something that's going to make the world so much better. And then it, like, just, like, pans over to, like, New York City on fire.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, no, we fucked it up really bad. So
if you're listening to this podcast from a post-apocalyptic world where the AI pins have burrowed into everyone's bodies and taken them over, I said it first.
They're screaming at this broken iPhone 13 that this podcast is playing off of. Like, no! Stop them! Oh, my God.
But yeah, that's, like I said, that's the Humane AI pin. Much to be seen what happens with it. I'm suspicious. I'm horrified. Ooh. We'll see what happens.
Spooky. But
for now, that's what I got for you guys.
They could be out there right now.
They could. And we hope you stay safe to listen to us again next week. Bye-bye, horror honeys.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production, recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicasts, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'mHorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.